It's time for Stars on Sport,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sport. Today, I'm joined by our assistant athletic director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And as we record this, gentlemen, Happy New Year. It's our first recording of 2025, and that is crazy that we're talking 2025. Just seemed like Y2K was yesterday, and now it's a quarter of a century away. Had a great 2024. And so today I just like to talk about 2025, sports trends, goal. I'm not a big goal setter, and maybe that's part of my problem when I reflected on this podcast. I think I work hard. I think I'm busy. I don't think I'm always productive, and maybe because I don't have that goal setting. But the one thing I have learned, and you know, partly from you, Coach Cutter, is scheduling, calendar, putting my things on a calendar. And as I reflect, I think they can be intertwined. That is almost like goal setting, because you're putting something down that you want to accomplish or get done. And it's helped me be more productive. So as we talk about this podcast and looking forward to 2025, I don't want to, you know, necessarily get into goal setting, although I did list some things that I would hope to accomplish personally and professionally this year. But are either one of you like New Year's resolution goals kind of people?
I think yes, I do try to set a lot of goals, because I think goals can be pretty important, but they can also be one of those things that aren't great as well, because you can set a goal and then you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, I didn't stack any bricks on the way to that goal, you know? And so it can be goals can be a really negative thing too. I think it's kind of to each their own, but you should set some type of marker that you want to accomplish. And I really, you know, we've talked about telescopes and microscopes. I feel like it is very challenging for all of us to set goals that are just for a year. It's such a long period of time, and there's so many things that are going to come into play that you're going to have to work through with resiliency and things like that, that it's easier to set goals maybe for the day or for the hour or for the half a day, things like that. And you'll have probably a lot more rewards out of that piece. So I think for myself, I'm really more focused on this year on impact over accomplishments, and really watching the ripple effect of what that impact can do, and not getting tied into accomplishments, whether they're team accomplishments or my own accomplishments.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say I'm really a resolution guy. I will say that this year I decided to work on a skill. And that is specifically better listening, which you would think, doing what I do, I would be pretty good at that. But occasionally I find myself in situations, especially in personal life, where I'm realizing I'm not listening. I'm thinking about goals. I'm thinking about other things. I'm distracted with other things that I shouldn't be. And so I decided to make better listening a priority for myself this
year. I like
that,
actually. Yeah. I might take you up on that. Not on listening, per se, although I think our whole society needs the work better on listening. That's a whole other podcast.
Well, and there's a lot of truth to that, because there's a lot of distraction that we all have now. So,
but I think it also reflects our society of even like stop signs that we talked about before. Is people are not stopping because they're already going. And I think with listening, people are already wanting to respond, so they're not listening. They're not listening to hear. They're listening to respond. That they want to give that next answer before you're done talking.
You
so
bet.
We don't listen well, which, again, stop signs. We've talked a number of times on this podcast. Gentlemen, today was my best reverse parking in my life.
Oh,
I had to park between
plus one right
two
there.
Cars, and I wasn't going to do it. I did it, and it turned out well, and not even too many turns, so I don't want to digress.
Well done, well done. Regarding the goal setting, though, I find that goals tend to be very fluid whenever I set a goal. So I set a goal, and then all of a sudden I'm going, maybe I need to go a little higher, or maybe I need to bring that down. The other thing that you mentioned where I would recommend to anybody, because you said that you get caught up into the day-to-day activities, and I do that all the time. So last year what I did is I incorporated into my work calendar where I just put a little entry where, like, things, the big enterprise type projects, things that I really want to get to but I just can't ever seem to get to, that I at least dedicate a half hour of that, maybe an hour of that every week. And I just put a reminder that no matter what's happening, I block off that time, and this is my time to work on this project.
That's another good one, because I feel that I struggle with that too, I'm so busy doing the day-to-day, mm-hmm. like clerical things. I don't have an opportunity to work on those bigger vision items I have for our department, and I do schedule them sometimes, to just, again, with the interruptions and that. So another good tip. Well done. You're on fire in 2025 of helping us be better. So, but back to, you know, even what Coach Cutter said about stacking wins, that is, you know, when researching goal setting, those are some of the things, you know, like one of my, one of our, I think, favorite things is from the Admiral that said, make your bed every morning. And we do that at home, and it is stacking a win and a goal, you know, starting the night before that, you know, you're going to do it, and getting something accomplished. That goal setting does help you focus, because you have something to work towards. It does help with determination, that you do have to work towards something. And then if you measure it and do well, it can be those stacking wins that we have talked about. So I think there is a lot of merit to goal setting. I think, like you said, it's different. Both of you have different people and how you phrase it or how you word it. But, you know, one of my favorite things, and I might have shared this on a podcast before, but I use it all the time. It's one of my favorite memories in athletic administration. We were at a student leadership summit, and the presider in the room had all the students take out a piece of paper and write down as many numbers as they can in 30 seconds. I don't know if it was 30 seconds or not. So everyone's writing down numbers. And then she went around the room and, you know, how'd you do it? And then she had them do it again. And you could see the significant improvement. Now they knew that, you know, they needed to do better, you know, because the first time they didn't know what they were doing. They were just writing down numbers. But then they had a goal in front of them. And so if they wrote 1 to 30 the first time, they wrote 1 to 76 the second time. And it was a real good example about goal setting, of the differences between the two, of just writing 1 to however in 30 seconds and then trying to beat that number the second time. So that's always stuck with me. It's an example I use all the time. For me, I like the skill one. I will have come up with a skill one for our next podcast. And you talked about impact. That's a great example. You know, in our business, you get stuck on winning. You don't get stuck on it, but that's what a lot of people's goals are. Win-win.
How you're judged.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's a measurable thing you can see on the scoreboard. And I want to win. I want to compete to win. So, as we've told before, usually our number one objective is to win the all sports trophy, and we're halfway through the year, and, you know, we'll be in contention for it. And I think, you know, we'll hopefully in a good position to earn that. But, you know, the word that stuck with me are like the impact and skill is, you know, take risks, challenge, not, you know, doing the same thing every day, you're going to get the same result. So back to even doing those things that will help me be better, because, as I've told before, be better, the general goal I use every day is just be better than yesterday. One of my favorite shirts is beat yesterday.
It's hard to do, but if you do, it is a mindset. But if you do focus on, you know, kind of the theory behind plus one, where, you know, it's really small stuff. It's not the super large dream, but it's the small things. And through those small things, it could be, I just picked up a piece of garbage in the hallway and threw it in the trash can that was, you know, 7 feet away. That's a plus one. And that's what winning looks like. And that's how confidence starts building, and you just go through your day stacking these really, really small bricks. And at the end of the day, if you do that for one full day, you'll sit there and say to yourself, that was a pretty solid day. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fear of how do I get 1% better tomorrow or 2% better tomorrow. It's just like, I'm just going to keep plus one, and I'm going to push my chair in when I leave the room, plus one, you know. It's that kind of mindset. So you're stacking all these wins, which then builds confidence. And we all know that people that are confident can accomplish a lot more than people that are questioning and full of self-doubt.
And I like the plus one because I do that. I'm a list person. So every day I write a list of things that I like to get done. And I've done every leadership personality test out there. And one of mine is achiever. So, you know, like when I check something off, I'm excited. And if I check off the whole list, you'll see me stand up and dancing in my office and doing this. No, good thing no one does see me, but it does give me energy. And those lists never seem to end. I mean, at the end of the day, I even though I check four or five of them, you know, I've added more to the list. But it is crazy what little things can do to help move you forward or excite you to move on to that next task, which is similar to sports and being successful in sports. And as we start new seasons this week or start new semesters in the next week, that's important too. Getting confidence early and building on, you know, it's a tough transition in college from high school and now kids figuring out how to be successful in the classroom and now a long season to check things off. And I think we forget that sometimes because, again, we get too caught up on the big picture of the scoreboard or I'm not starting or I'm not scoring this many points or my batting average isn't this or that. But then you got to start breaking it down back to the process of being successful. And that's the nice thing, as you talked about, Dalian, is reflection, having time. I don't think our society spends enough time reflection on our goals or, you know, we put a lot of things out there, but when do we stop and think and evaluate where or how we are at? And so reflection, I had a mentor of mine always talk to me about the importance of reflection. So I've worked hard at trying to reflect, but we get busy. I mean, you know, at the end of the night, you know, some of the best podcasts I've read is you should prepare tomorrow the night before, but, you know, by the end of the night, I mean, you know, time flies.
I will say that since hanging out with you guys on this podcast and just listening to the show, a lot of the times I now look at things, as you guys very often say, brick by brick, because I used to always look at that big goal and just kind of go, am I ever going to get there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to realize that, it's the small victories that lead to the big one.
Yeah. See, you know, where we are constantly, because of everything that's happening, we're missing the trees amongst the forest, you know, kind of deal. And so when you're trying to do that, another great thing is to be able to journal. And it can just be five words, but it kind of gives you some feedback of where you are, what you're thinking, what just happened to you. And it you can look back on that stuff and you say, man, you know, I was down in the dumps at this point. And just a week later or a day later, or maybe it's a month, whatever it might be. And you can look and you can be like, you know, there's a lot of plus ones that have happened since then. And that's where, like, the word resiliency, that's where resiliency is built. And that's where that muscle is built. And through resiliency, you're going to grow confidence.
God, I think you just got me back onto another resolution. I think I need to get back on that journal.
Me too. I honestly wrote it down. I do.
I haven't done that. I did not. I don't even think I wrote in it once last year. Mm-hmm. Not even once.
I wrote in a journal last year and
do you have
frequently.
It? Do you have it in that stack over there?
Are you sure that stack is not
this
your
is
journal?
My podcast stack. And maybe I'm going to put piles on my list for this year too. There's another skill, but man, I get two today. Now you made me lose my train of thought. But I love journaling. I look back at my old journals and just laugh or smile and think of what I did this day in, you know, 2014 or something. And even have encouraged my kids to journal and look at their journal. I don't look at them, but they share them with me or such. I know you do a great job with your team every day journaling. But you're right. But that also helps with reflection, too, because it gives you something to look back and reflect on. So another thing that I need to do better this year. But, you know, back to prioritizing, you know, that's where scheduling can help in balance, avoiding conflict and interruptions. You know, we talk about getting hit and how you handle those, and we all have, you know, jobs are the interruption. Back to your big picture thing. It wasn't, until recently, this wasn't one of my favorite analogies, but it actually has become more higher on the list for me, is how to eat an elephant, and it's one bite at a time. And if you look at an elephant, you think, how would you accomplish, you know, knocking that down, and it's one bite at a time. And there's a nice little parable about that. And that's really stuck with me over the last 5 years of that as an example, one I use, and I just heard it recently, because that is it. One, you know, back to one brick at a time, one step at a time. You're not going to eat the whole thing at once. You got to break it into pieces and chip away at it. And again, I think that's also true. As we talked about in our office, we have, you know, again, a lot of good podcasts in our office about stories, you know, how seasons are stories, and they're pieces, pieces that come together. And there's some happy ending stories, not happy ending stories. You know, and as we start a new year, and many people in our world do resolutions, or do the one word goal thing that, you know, that we've talked about in the past. It is, you know, there seems to be a lot of happiness or whatever that I can maybe do that this year that I haven't done in the.
Craig's beating up the microphone just so everybody knows.
You had me lift it up, and now it's in my way. No.
He's using some hand gestures, and they're good ones though.
But so I think, you know, we just completed a busy holiday season, and I love the holiday season. Thanksgiving is about gratitude, and Christmas or whatever you celebrate is about giving. So I think those are great attributes that our society can embrace, and not just celebrate during that month, but should try and celebrate year round. So those are what stick with me that. But now as we head into a new year, people are looking forward and maybe trying to do something they haven't been able to do in their previous year or lifetime. So it always seems like this is a big topic right now of what I'm going to try and accomplish this year, or what we can do. And in sports, we do that every season. And then when we live by seasons. And so for some of us, January 1st of 2025 is in the middle of a season. For some of us, it's out of season. For some of us, it's the beginning of a season. But that's one of my favorite things about sports, is every season we kind of set those goals, set those expectations, and then work toward those. Because one of you mentioned earlier, on December 31st of 2025, how many look back and say, well, I didn't get that done, or, well, I didn't accomplish that. Or, you know, they're probably looking forward and say, well, I should try it again this year, or I should do this. And so, again, I think it's important. I like that our society does use, like, in a year, the beginning of a year, to try and move forward. Because, again, we all should be trying to be better or plus one over yesterday.
Very good.
So anything else to add to that? Quickly, another topic that we'll spend a whole nother podcast on is, as I was talking about 2025, I was looking at trends in sports. And there's some neat ones, but most of them are 2024 for your program, because you do a lot of these. But I just would like to share, and maybe we can dig deep into these in a future podcast. But when you're looking at trends for 2025, there seem to be two areas: technology and then environment. And what I mean, so in technology, the number one trend is wearable technology. And I'm not wearing mine today because I charged it last night. But, you know, more and more sports teams are using wearable technology. And our baseball team has a watch that they wear to help determine their performance, readiness, and where they're at. And so that's a big trend that we can probably talk more on. AI is obviously in data stuff, and virtual reality, which I know, again, you guys use some virtual reality for skill acquisition, are trending. I just used AI for the first time over winter break. I downloaded ChatGPT on my thing, and my son's going to be the best man in the wedding, so I just put on their best man toast. And It was crazy. I've been a best man in a wedding a couple of times, and so I put peaches together. And
it
was,
you did add it afterwards, right?
I just did it for fun. I didn't even, I just left it. But it was pretty cool. I mean, it's something you really could work with.
It is.
You know, so it was a good foundation. Yes, I would definitely tweak it. I'd even share it with him.
But, yeah, that's the one thing I recommend for anything that's been written by AI is make sure you read that afterwards.
But they talk about how AI can help, as we talk about in sports, data-driven analysis and statistics, and how plugging them into AI can help tailor or be more sport-specific or even be more accurate than human analysis. Right. So that was another topic. But the interesting one, too, for me, because we're going to talk about sports venues on this podcast in the future, too. And I've done a lot of research. I love sports venues.
Junior college venues?
All sports. You know, I'm a big it will be the end of the question, but the Colosseum, the Rome and Greece, the built facility thousands of years ago, and some of them are very similar characteristics to what we have now. But I believe that's going to change. And looking at some trends, they're going to be more fan interactive. They're going to be more towards social gatherings. And I think minor league baseball has already done this with some of the things they do, picnic tables instead of stadium seating, food, you know, where they fit in. Even one of the things I saw is it's going to be blurred between the fan and the athlete, like even including virtual reality and games and like that, which makes me a little nervous, but just how far we'll go. Because the other side of it that's also going to be big is streaming and the way we watch sports now and how accessible it can be. So any quick things on sports trends or other music trends for 2025 that you want to, we can go over those.
I think the AI aspect is both exciting and scary for everybody, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things that can happen. And honestly, we could just do a whole episode on AI, really.
Maybe we will. I'll highlight that. Because, again, other trends of sports betting, we can talk about issues that we will deal with in a future podcast in 2025 at the NJCA level. Another one that attracts me about stadiums is environmental sustainability. I never say go green, but it's, you know, I always joked if they would have said go blue, it would have been picked up a lot quicker in history of helping us be more environmentally sound. But I even saw a stadium that's going to reusable cups, you know, if you buy a pop or something that, you know, so that's exciting for me on trend that could be happening in 2025. So quickly, any other things on 2025 we want to hit before?
Just super briefly, I think the AI is incredible and it helps people become more efficient, and there's a lot of positive behind it. And then as I was thinking about it, as we were talking about it, I was like, man, it's not any different than a generation before us being afraid of the internet and what that could bring. And Google's right at your fingertips, and you can find the closest restaurant, and you can see the reviews, and you know, that car dealership, and you know, the yellow pages went away. And then you start the podcast by saying Y2K when everything was going to shut down because of
that was one of those things. It was super scary.
So just talk about bringing it full circle. Yeah, it Y2K is. To full AI. Circle.
Listen to the song 1999 on the radio this morning. We talked about Y2K over what we were doing 25 years ago when that happened.
Progress.
And as we talk about it now, we're probably affecting AI. So it's kind of interesting.
We'll talk more about AI in sports in a future podcast. So those who are still listening, I have two questions at the end as we talk about. So the first one is, what country would you, if you could visit any country in the world, what country would that be?
Wow. I would say almost all of them, the one that I've always wanted to get to, and I still have not had the opportunity to do so, would be Ireland.
Okay.
You know, it's beautiful.
I got a story about Ireland, but what about you, Coach?
I was kind of thinking the same thing because I actually coached a player that did an internship in Ireland, and he came back talking about the incredible I'll just start with the landscape of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It, he had such a way of sharing a story that it just made me say, wow, that seems like a really neat place to go to.
Well, 3 for 3. I would Ireland.
You as well.
Me too. The other one would be Rome, Italy, just because, or
that
Greece
would be my second one, actually.
Because of the history.
Well, mine would be the art and the architecture.
Yeah, all that. I just not sports.
Beautiful.
Right. But back to Ireland, I had a friend. He's Catholic, and he had a buddy go to Ireland, and the guy calls him, goes, "You would love it here. They're the pub and church on every corner." And my friend goes, "I didn't know you went to heaven. I thought you went to Ireland." So yeah, the landscape is cool, but very interesting. So we'll actually save the next question until our next podcast about food. So until then, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry and Journey Robinson. You can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars! Connecting you with Lansing Community College. This is LCC Connect.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
The Cesar Chavez Learning Center's Access Program at Lansing Community College creates a community on campus for underrepresented students, providing them with a support network and multiple layers of academic, social, and professional experiences. Access also incorporates workshops and resources that assist in educational and career advancement. To find out more about Access, visit lcc.edu and search Access Program.
I'm Stephen Cutter, and I host a show called Coach Cut's Corner here on LCC Connect. Coach Cut's Corner is about Lansing Stars baseball program, mental performance, and just getting better in everyday life. You can always find more about LCC Connect shows and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, the gym, to the airport to pick up loved ones, to the kids' soccer games, piano lessons, out for movie night, to hear your favorite band in the city, over to grandma and grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Protect it. When you leave your vehicle, remember to always take your keys or key fob with you and lock the doors. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB, or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Lansing Community College's Business and Community Institute provides businesses with customized, synergistic trainings that realize logistical opportunity. Learn more about the future of business today at lcc.edu/BCI.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Bob Myers from the Historical Society of Michigan with a Michigan history moment. It was called the Rainbow Inn. Located on the southern edge of Petoskey, it was Northern Michigan's only African-American resort hotel and restaurant. Its clientele included people of all races, colors, and creeds. The Rainbow Inn opened in 1950 and was the brainchild of William Thomas West, an African-American porter and chef on the Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Detroit Railroad. The railroad provided passenger service to Petoskey, Harbor Springs, and Mackinac City during the mid-20th century. West, a 25-year veteran of the rail company, lived in northern Michigan during the summer season. He knew firsthand that many hotels, restaurants, and other businesses in the north were just as segregated as their southern counterparts. In 1949, West bought a three-story boarding house and carriage house near the railroad tracks in Petoskey. The boarding house was originally built in the 1880s as a mansion for Frederick Bowerly, a wealthy woodenware manufacturer. It was located in what people called Hungry Hollow, where many Native Americans lived. West took his retirement savings and bought the building on a land contract. He and his wife, Gail, spent the next year remodeling it, and in the spring of 1950, opened their restaurant and hotel as the Rainbow Inn. The name signified that they welcomed customers of any color. The couple placed advertisements for their hotel and restaurant in African-American newspapers, publicizing the Rainbow Inn as a Northern Michigan destination for people of color. The inn also became a favorite place for African-American domestic servants, who spent summers in the area with their employers. The Rainbow Inn continued to prosper, but years of protests began to change America's political landscape. On July 2, 1964, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. No longer could businesses refuse service because of race, color, religion, or national origin. The Civil Rights Act also meant that America's black resorts, such as Idlewild in western Michigan, were no longer necessary. But it was an accidental fire, not the Civil Rights Act, that ended the Rainbow Inn. On March 8, 1965, the Rainbow Inn burned to the ground. It was never rebuilt. William West died in 1970, and his wife Gail passed the following spring. Now, the Rainbow Inn is only a memory of an inclusive place that served travelers of all colors. This Michigan History Moment was brought to you by MichiganHistoryMagazine.org.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College's dual enrollment program offers the opportunity for qualified high school students to earn college credit while working towards their high school diploma. Dual enrollment lets students receive educational advancement in areas where the student's interest is displayed, especially in courses and academic areas not available in the student's high school. To find out more information about dual enrollment, visit lcc.edu.
Laura, that was an amazing meal. The guys really went to town on that leg of lamb.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it.
It's hard to believe how much you and Jim have done with the house in such a short amount of time. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, we love it too. And the kids are really thriving in school here. But...
But what? Something's wrong. I know you too well.
Jim's company is cutting his salary, and he may even get laid off. He doesn't think we'll be able to afford the mortgage.
Oh, Laura. You know what? My cousin Susan and her husband were in a similar situation, but they got some terrific advice for free from a housing counselor from the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. You need to be careful who you can trust these days with so many so-called mortgage consultants out there. The NFCC is nonprofit and has been around for more than 50 years.
If you think you're in danger of foreclosure, call the NFCC today at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. That's mortgagehelpnow.org, a public service from the NFCC.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. The foundation annually accepts scholarship applications from November through January. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Conversations with Kate is like a conversation with your friend, hairstylist, or therapist, where we will talk about music, life, stories, and everything in between, with interviews and guests sprinkled in. As an LCC student, it's an honor, and I love bringing a fresh perspective to the podcast menu on LCC Connect. I am your host, Kate. Let's get into this episode.
how appropriate we are all dancing to the intro. Today is a very special podcast. I have three of my choir classmates with me to talk about all things choir. And then we're going to kind of go from there. We're going to talk about some other things. I did very quickly before I came down today, write down some things to talk about, but then we're going to go from there. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to start with, like, I want everybody to introduce themselves.
Love that.
And tell me when you started singing in a choir. Like, how old were you? Because I know all of you guys have been doing this way longer than I have.
Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, give yourself some credit.
I don't know about way longer.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, for me, it's just been since the beginning of last year.
Mm. So. Oh, really? Oh,
wow.
You only got 2 years on me.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought we'd been in choir together for a lot longer. It feels like it's been a lot longer.
Yes, I love that. Yay. Okay, and wait a minute. What did you say?
That you only have 2 years on me?
So you just started.
When I was in junior year of high school, I finally got into my high school's choir, then through senior year, and now... this would be my third year in choir.
No, mm-hmm. You have more time than me because I literally just started last January.
I'm saying that I only have 2 more years.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that being said.
Absolute children. No.
Absolute children. Okay. Yes, this episode is already wonderful. Okay. So let's go around the room and we'll start with Matthew.
My name is Matthew. I'm 20 years old and... No, I'm not. Oh, my God, I lied.
Whoa.
I'm 21. Oops, I just remembered I had a birthday. Ooh. So I did choir since, I want to say, 5th grade.
Wow.
That's no time.
How old are we when we're in 5th grade? What, like 10, 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's 10.
I have no idea.
A long time ago. I've slept since then.
That being said.
You joined kindergarten at like 4 to 5 typically. So then add 5 years to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. We'll go with that.
The math makes sense.
Exactly. All right. That being said.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
So hi.
Hi.
My name is Toby.
Hey, Toby.
20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in choir since. So are we doing like choirs in like a choir or just like choir class, like music
choir class?
Class.
Even choir class, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I want to say like 16 years technically.
Wow.
Yeah. I went to a performing arts elementary, middle, and high school.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So since kindergarten, I've been singing.
Wow. See, I went to performing arts middle and high school, but it was more, I leaned more into the like art and the dance and ballet in high school.
You can never catch me dancing.
I might. Go ahead and you introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Caroline. I am 18. I've only done choir for 3 years, but I've been singing my whole life just because I come from a very music-based family.
Oh, love that. Woo. Okay, so what do each of you love the most about choir?
I love the community of it all. I love meeting different people and different backgrounds and just learning about each other and creating relationships. I love that.
It's so real.
Yes, I agree with that. When I stepped into the choir room for the first time in January of last year, I was like, I have found my other people. Yes.
I love that.
I was just like, holy cow, this is wonderful. Yes. And literally the sense of community just in that classroom, I was like,
it's crazy.
It was exuciating.
So supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exuciating? Is that a word?
I don't know.
We're just going to call that a madism.
Do you mean exuding?
Yes, exuding.
Exuding. Okay.
Oh my God.
And so Caroline, Toby, can you guys add anything? What do you love about it the most?
What don't I love about choir, honestly? Doing the alto part.
So noted. Don't
five
love
octave
alto
range.
Exactly, 5 octave range. Come on.
Okay. Yes.
Another clap for that one.
Yeah, I've recently found out that I, through my vocal development, I have a 5-octave range, which means that I'm able to do any part in the choir. So I've been trying to challenge myself by doing the alto part, which I had no idea how hard the alto part actually is.
Yeah.
But it's just, but joining choir has been such a transformative experience for me, finding people who have the same values towards music and art as I do, and getting to express myself in a way that honestly feels as natural to me as breathing. It's just, I honestly don't know where I would be mentally without choir at this point.
That is so awesome. I absolutely agree. Music is everything.
It really is.
I love that. Love
music. It's also how, well, not exactly how I met, but pretty close to how I met one of my best friends across this table here.
Oh, I love that.
That's how we got to meet. If we didn't have choir together, we wouldn't even know each other.
Right.
What about theater?
Well,
he was in a part of theater then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wasn't. I joined theater after Toby graduated.
Yeah. Oh. For context, we all three of us went to high school together.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah. Yes. I graduated first, and then Matthew, and then Caroline. Mm-hmm.
Which high school was that?
Everett.
Lansing. Where's Everett? Everett?
In the Lansing area.
Okay.
It is a performing arts high school.
Okay.
Big quotations on performing arts high school.
They try, but bureaucracy, funding,
got it.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Performing arts school, we sure get a lot of sports.
Right?
You know, a lot of the time, I find, especially here, that happens. It even happened with my high school in Orlando. We were performing arts middle and high school, and when I was in 10th grade, they opened up School of Choice.
Oh.
And where before it was strictly, it wasn't like strictly to that area, but it was literally just that's what that high school was for. There were other middle schools, there was other high schools that had just general stuff. And then, of course, you know, all the good football players and baseball players came to good old Dr. Phillips High School.
Ooh.
Yeah, I went to, I don't know if you guys know this, but the high school that I went to was in front of, in the back of Universal Studios.
Ooh.
What?
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So when I was in high school and like 9th grade, they were breaking ground on Islands of Adventure. Within a month of starting 9th grade, they started putting up, you know how they do the fence line with like the green stuff?
Yeah.
For Islands of, Islands of Adventure. And you could see just all of the coasters and everything just being built across the street.
That's really cool.
Did you ever sneak onto the lot?
Yeah.
No, because they are serious about their security.
Oh, yeah.
No one close.
No one close. Okay, so I have a question for you guys next. Where have you struggled with choir?
I'd say a lot of different places. Personally, I'm going to call myself out on this.
Ooh.
So I was also in band in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was not very studious in that sense, which is not the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am decent-ish. I can get by with bass clef. Treble clef, whole different ball game. Oh, no. So I guess reading music and then, like, notation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I do better than some people in the sense of I know when the note goes up and when the note goes down. But, like, if I sit there and I, like, clap it out, I can figure out the rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just takes me a minute.
Get out my metronome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Key signatures are... No.
Real.
I've taken a piano class. I hate key signatures.
Same. They're kind of evil. They're the bane of my existence.
I just got done with theory 1 and 2. And let me tell you something. As someone who has unmedicated ADD, I had to take about 6 to 8 hours extra every single day on those lessons.
Oh, damn.
Oh, it was a lot. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I had to figure out my own ways of like memorizing all of the things for all the exams. Oh my goodness. So I feel you on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so much. I applaud anyone who like has that memorized and can just like whip, like that's their party trick, mm-hmm. that they can just do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even just hand them some sheet music and they're able, like they just look
I
at
have
it,
to
don't
think
even
about it. Still even. Right. I yeah. literally have to physically, like in my mind, picture my own little cheat sheet yep. that I mm-hmm. used to write yep. down on the paper.
I
have to think about it first and be like, all right, what key is this D sharp? Oh, okay. Where is that in the thing? Okay, there we go. Like,
yeah. No, we have a person in our class who shall be named anonymous. But she, like, is incredible on the keys. She's just, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. She's just amazing, and I'm so envious, but she's so talented, and I'm like, if I could snatch just an ounce of that talent, oh, it would be mine.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, anybody else? Oh, not anybody else. Everybody else, tell me, where have you struggled in choir personally? And that could be currently, that could be in the past.
I struggle a lot because, like, I have I would say a basic understanding of music theory. Like, I mm-hmm. understand treble and bass clef.
Mm-hmm.
If you hand me sheet music, give me some time, I can tell you what the notes are.
Okay.
The problem for me is that I can't then equate those notes to the sound.
Mm.
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
like, I can look at a paper and say, oh, that's an A note. I can't then sing the A note.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that's definitely where I struggle a lot, especially with how we currently do choir, because mm-hmm. here it seems to be very based on a rudimentary understanding of sight reading, which mm-hmm. I do not have.
Yes.
Right.
At our old high school, the way that we did choir there was very much we would be given a piece, and then the choir director, Mr. Kinney, love him.
Shout out to Mr. Kinney. We love you.
The entire reason that I have any skill, Mr. Kinney, he would always go through each part individually on the piano. So mm-hmm. we would start off with that basis of, okay, this is what it's supposed to sound like. So it made it a lot easier to pick out our parts as they were being played because we had that base, like, okay, this is what things are supposed to sound like.
Yes.
Whereas here, it's very much just handed the piece of sheet music and trying to figure it out. And I've been struggling because of it.
So one of the things that I do, because I don't always have all of the pitches, and this is just a for help, not mm-hmm. that you need help. I'm just like putting my two cents in. I actually go home and on my keyboard, I will play everything out for
oh, wow.
soprano
yeah,
because my thing is that if I hear it,
mm-hmm.
I can remember.
Right.
I don't always,
Same.
I don't,
Damn.
Sometimes I forget between Thursday and Tuesday and I got to be reminded. It's whatever. But yep. playing it at home, I don't know if you have a piano at home, it helps a ton.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about?
That's been my plan, though, to go home and start playing it on the keyboard.
Yes. Yes. Matthew?
One struggle for me is, like, I can't really read music. Like, I learned a little bit during my senior year, but, like, all of that's just gone out the window,
yeah.
and I can't remember anything. And now I'm, like, struggling, like, okay, what key is this in? What note do I sing? Help.
Sometimes I forget the flats and sharps, and I'll just...
I felt that so hard.
Oh, I don't even think about the flats or sharps.
No.
I'm just like, okay, how is it supposed to sound? And
right.
I'll look at where there's a flat or sharp, and I'll just know, okay, this is supposed to sound different than how it would normally mm-hmm. sound. So I'll just go off of, does it sound wrong? Especially if it's a sharp.
Yeah.
I've just learned that, like, it's supposed to sound wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes there's just so much information on the page
mm-hmm.
that it's almost too much to look at.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I
and
agree.
It's just like
the dynamics.
Yes,
the dynamics, the mezzaforte. There was like that. There's a couple of different
crescendo,
symbols.
The repeats.
Ugh.
Okay, the repeats.
I'm going to be honest. I don't struggle with the repeats as much. That may just be me, but
I just have to pay attention to it.
I have to pay. I have to. That's where my ADD brain is just like, ding, 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 ding. What, squirrel?
Yeah. So real. Because sometimes I go on autopilot and okay, so I'll sing this part and like, oh, no, wrong part. Oops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would each of you tell someone that isn't familiar with choir about choir life?
Firstly, I would just say however lame you think we are for choir, I guarantee you we are far lamer than you think.
For real.
I fear that is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish I could say that, like, we're always hanging out and partying, even to the extent of, like, Glee, where they would have house parties.
We are not Glee.
No, that is not how things are. We are just a bunch of people who care about music, so we sit in a classroom singing together.
I mean, we could do Glee.
I would
we
love could. To. Right?
I actually have a really good idea. I'm going to suggest it in class.
Ooh.
So have you guys, do you guys know who Alex Warren is?
I do not.
Oh, that sounds very familiar.
So he's
famous? Oh, wait, is that?
He was in the Hype House, and he has a song out right now called Ordinary, and he wrote it about.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up later.
What's so his there, name? Yeah, we'll Alex Warren.
That's right.
So my idea is to get one of the altos or tenor guys to sing the song, because there is a wedding version of the song.
Ooh.
Where it's him with a choir backing him.
Ooh.
And I'm like, how cool would that be if all sick. Of us, the choir, was singing it? I'll show it to you guys after we're done here.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So give someone like a solo part to do the melody.
Yes.
And then choir behind it.
Yeah,
I love that.
Ooh, you could even break it up so that it's like, okay, fake names, but Jack gets verse
one.
A, yeah, verse
yes.
one,
yes.
and then we all sing together as the chorus,
yes.
and then Sarah gets verse two, you know,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You could even break it up like that, or even like a couple lines,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
you could even do something
so cool.
Like, depending on how much work would want to be put into it, you could do something where like individuals get the verses, but the chorus, like the melody, goes to one of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
so like all
yeah.
the tenors get
yeah.
the get one chorus,
mm-hmm.
all the
I'll say
really interesting. Yeah.
Do the
yes.
second chorus.
I love that.
Cool. See, okay, yeah,
you're
we got
genius.
Okay, table that. We're going to talk about that after we get off air.
Oh,
music
teams.
Okay, Toby, Matthew, what would you tell someone if they did not know anything about choir life?
I got to think about it.
Right. If you're passionate about singing and you want to sing with others, I would highly suggest do it. Just know that it's not Hollywood, so we're not all friends together. But if you do get friends with other people, that's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd say don't be afraid to make mistakes
yes.
or ask questions. Personally, I get so lost sometimes.
Real.
Like,
same.
Try your best, and you're just like, I don't even know what measure we're on, but I'm just going to wing it.
Right.
Yeah,
that was
so
me Tuesday.
No, I felt that. I felt that
there's
so hard.
There's a reason I had to ask for the alto part every song.
Literally.
We did.
And that's okay.
Yes.
You know, because they're.
I like that. That's a good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone who's able to answer those questions, whether it's
mm-hmm.
another student,
mm-hmm.
whether it's somebody else who's in your section.
Yes.
Whether it's your teacher or the, oh my gosh, what is the name of it? The piano player.
Pianist.
The accompanist?
Yes, yes, yes. The accompanist.
The accompanist? Accompanist.
Accompanist.
I believe it's accompanist.
Accompanist.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. I'll ask Nada. She corrected me. I was like,
I don't know. Dude that plays piano.
Shout out to Dr. Z.
Yeah, we love you.
Dr. Z, we love you.
You're an icon, a legend, and the moment.
Yes.
And shout out to Nada.
Yes, love you, queen. You're a queen. We love you. Slay.
Do you guys have a favorite choir song or concert
Ooh.
That's happened in the past?
Oh,
and
you know,
why?
You know I do.
You know.
I know. I already, when I wrote this question down, I was like, I know exactly what Toby's going to say.
Okay, so back with our old director, which Caroline was the only one that wasn't there for that,
mm-hmm.
but she was still in high school.
Yeah.
She was still a baby.
Should have dropped out. I was kidding.
Listen,
yeah.
the way they were messing with me, I considered.
Trauma. Yeah. So we did this song called Ad Astra. I don't remember who the arranger is,
mm-hmm.
but oh my gosh, it's a beautiful song.
So
and
good.
There's like Latin, I think.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Latin.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so, it's so beautiful, and it's so dramatic in some parts. And Okay, a little bit of TMI. So I've been hospitalized like a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you don't have access to your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For like a lot of different reasons. Right. And so you get bored. You get so bored and you're trying to think of like any song that you can think of. And just, you know, just to pass the time, because I don't want to be doing a crossword puzzle all day, you know?
Right.
I don't want to do that Sudoku. I can't do math.
I've never done Sudoku.
Yeah. Same. It's crazy. So,
I mean,
regular Sudoku player over here.
Oh my gosh.
So I just like, that was the only song that I can remember, like for the past couple times I've been in the hospital for mm-hmm. like long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just, maybe it's that connection, mm-hmm. but I love it so much.
So you just would sing that song?
Yeah.
Just I love that.
Did it make you feel better?
It did, honestly.
Mm. It's such a good, I thank you for recommending it this term, because that's such a good song.
It is so fun.
It is so fun. Yes, I can't wait to sing it.
It's my favorite song.
Yay! Caroline or Matthew? Okay. Favorite song, past, present.
Favorite song.
I'm gonna go last because I have a couple points to make.
Okay.
Okay. Shout out to Mr. Kinney, but
my
favorite song that he ever had us do was "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." I don't know why. I just love that song.
Classic.
And the one thing that I loved about it was once like everyone like graduated, he would like have us like, hey, all the graduating people would come up here, come sing with us. And I was like, oh. And I just felt at home.
Okay.
Yeah. So to further explain that, every winter concert, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is like the one staple, and it's always how he closes off the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so as he's getting ready to do it, he'll look out to the audience and be like, if there's anybody who is like an alumni from choir who remembers the song and wants to come up and sing it, come up and sing it.
Right.
So last year, I want to say last year, both Toby and Matthew had come to.
I don't know. I know that 2 years ago when both of you were in choir, I think both of you.
It was two years ago. You had done it. And then last year, Matthew
that
had
is
come.
So
and then cool. this year, both you and I, both you and I, Matthew had gone. But, and best believe, next year I will be going again.
Right. I'm going again. We're
That's
going again.
So cool.
But I have a couple, like, signature moments for me in choir. Mm.
Signature moments. Yes. I like that.
Signature. Love that.
Firstly, I have a deep connection to the song I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz.
Mm. Okay. Love that song you did.
That is the first solo that I performed. It was at my first choir concert that I did that. And because of that, I feel like I have such a strong connection to it. I also have a very strong connection to the song Flowers from Hadestown.
Mm. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do, God.
Firstly, the first automatic thing is that Hadestown is the first musical that I saw live, so I have a strong connection to Hadestown.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay.
But then also, 1 year for choir, I did Flowers as a solo, but also that same year, when I was in the theater show, I did Flowers as a performance, specifically because we were doing a whole Shakespeare thing, and you know, he referenced the Greek myths. So
shout out to Miss McCampbell for Vikings Go Shakespearean.
That was such a good show. And my first on-stage show.
I know.
Wow.
That's so cool. I absolutely love the fact that you guys all went to the same high school. Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for being in here with me today. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Toby. If you guys have socials, please go do it. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, go, Caroline.
On YouTube, I am Ruby_MUA. On Instagram, I am Ruby_MUA123213. And on TikTok, I am Ruby Caroline the Witch.
Okay, on YouTube, I am Matthew Rodriguez 175. On Instagram, I am Maddie the Harajuku Barbie. Or not Harajuku Barbie. I'm Maddie the Harajuku Tikilera. On Facebook, Matthew Rodriguez, and on Twitter/X is Matthew R5034 3457, And on TikTok, I'm Matthew Rodriguez 834.
Yeah, I have an art account. I'll plug real quick. I don't post there, but I'm trying to. It's acrylic, as in like the paint, acrylic.anxiety with an extra Y.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate. You can find more information on LCC Connect site, as well as all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, yes, TikTok as well. Big love.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.